I'll desire your prayers. I'm glad that the Lord is in control. I have to be reminded of that every once in a while. I heard yesterday evening that Justice Scalia had passed away, and I'll be honest with you, it really, the instant I heard it, I was pretty distressed. I had always hoped that the Lord would spare that until after the present situation. And when I heard that, I literally thought, my expression to the Lord was, Lord, we're still down here. We still care. Because it's a pretty big deal.
Yes.
Right now there is four fairly conservatives and four very liberals and one fairly moderate that leans one way than the other on most things. It isn't all like that, but the idea of having another Supreme Court justice is a big deal. There can be a lot of decisions that's made. So it's a big deal. But the Lord helped me to understand things that, you know, God can do the impossible. And God reminded me that, you know, it'd be a much more glory to God that if we'd get a really, really good Supreme Court judge out of this administration, it'd be more glory to God that way. God can do anything. I lost my track a little bit there when I started trusting in man's ways of doing it and man's ideas. I would still rather it be that way, but the Lord reminded me, I'm still God. I'm still in control. And I was reminded that my confidence is in the Lord anyway. No matter what happens, my trust is still in the Lord. If there is 9 Supreme Court justices and they're all very liberal, I still trust in the Lord. And the Lord still can have His way in the affairs of men. And the Lord's still our God. So I am thankful that I have that resolve today that God is in control of our lives. I appreciate that knowledge and understanding. I do have a thought I want the Lord to help us with. My thought is don't miss your chance. The Lord allows many things to happen in our lives, and He is in control, and He'll give us the opportunity to make things better. He'll give us the opportunity to be saved. He'll give us the opportunity to correct wrongs. He gives us the opportunity to make a change in our lives. And I want the Lord to help us that we would consider it, that we wouldn't miss our chance. I'm going to start with a passage in Luke, the 19th chapter, 41st verse. It says, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou knowest, even thou at the least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." When Jesus came to this earth and was ministered 3.5 years, do you know that was a golden time? That was a very special event that happened in the history of mankind, to what it would have been like to have actually been a part of that process or been alive at that point in time, that the Lord came down. You know that the Lord didn't hide the fact that He was the Son of God. It was manifest through His own ministry. Who can turn water into wine? The Lord did it. It was broadcast out that there was a man that turned water into wine. The very power of His words spoke of who He was. You know, there was people that listened to them that was astonished. When was the last time you was astonished by someone's speech? There was people that was astonished by His speech. He paid a visitation to mankind. Some of them was an honest heart that said, He's the Son of God. There were some of them that said, no man can do these miracles unless God be with them. He healed the sick. He cast out devils out of people's lives. People that that couldn't help themselves, that was possessed by spirits, that done things, that cast themselves in the fires and hurt themselves, and dumb spirits where people couldn't speak, and He opened their ears and they could hear, and their blind eyes that they could see. He was doing these things not to bring some kind of human glory to Him, but to bring a witness to mankind that God has visited you. And now you have the chance to make your rights or your wrongs right. You have a chance for eternal life. You have a chance to know God. The opportunity is here. He took a few loaves and some fishes and fed great multitudes with it. Right in their sights and in their understandings. And you know, it wasn't very far off that they completely missed the lesson of that. Over and over, there was a time given for them to experience, to understand. He endeavored to open their understandings. By His mercy, His goodness, His power, His love, He tried to crack open a hard heart. He tried to open it up to them that they would be able to look and say, surely God is visiting us. Surely I have a chance now to be different. I have a chance to change what I've not been able to change about my life. I've allowed alcoholism to ruin my life. I've allowed drugs to ruin my life. I've allowed the situation to ruin my life. But now, you're something that's different. I've ruined my reputation, but now you're something that's different. So I've got a chance. But Jesus said to them, because you didn't know, that you didn't understand the day of your visitation, I am of the mind that God still works with us that way. I still am of the mind that God is real, God is loving, God is merciful, and God is dealing with every human soul. In one capacity or another, maybe there is some that's went beyond that work. It's possible. But it isn't that He didn't visit, and He didn't woo, He didn't reach, He didn't long. He's still doing it today. He's still following you. He's still talking to you. He still wants you to have a relationship with Him. The enemy comes in, folks. Listen, I'm going to tell you. Lord help us. The enemy comes in and throws up smoke screens of God's work. He comes in and he points us to the failures of others. You know, other people's failures has nothing to do with this. Just because somebody else didn't live close enough to the Lord or didn't have enough grace has nothing to do with what the Lord is trying to do today with you. How many times the Lord's a visit and the devil throws up the smoke screen of failures and problems and throws up the things and asks if that skews the idea of the reality of God. All too often we'll justify, I'm not right, I'm not what I ought to be because everybody else ain't what they ought to be. But that's missing the day of our visitation. The day that the Lord is talking with my heart about who I am and what He wants me to do. And yes, I look and see failures in my own life that somebody could point to. So no doubt I could probably look at your failures too and point to that. But the Lord is wanting something beyond all of that. He's wanting a relationship with me. He's wanting me to know the day of my visitation. So what would stop us? What would hinder us from being able to find this place in the Lord? In Matthew, the 23rd chapter, in the 37th verse, it says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. Listen to the language. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. No doubt he's talking about more than the city and the city walls. He's talking about the people of Jerusalem. You killed the prophets and stoned them that were sent to you. That ought to be a condemnation, but that's not what the Lord's doing. Or maybe He could say to us, oh, congregation at Green Bank, how about that? Indifferent people, maybe. Or those that didn't give a care, how about that? What could he say, oh, congregation there, Now I'm going to lay judgment on Jerusalem. No, he didn't say that. All the assent. How often? This is a loving expression. I want you to understand this. I know your frailties and failures and faults. I know all of those things, but I still sent to you. Yes. How often would I have gathered you together? How often did I want to embrace you? How often did I want to be your God? In your trials, in your places, in your difficulties, in your hurts, in your wounds, and the smoke screens up, but I'm gone. And how often did I try to gather you together? How often I wanted to protect you until when the world crashes down around you, you can still say, but my God was there standing by me. When I needed courage, God gave me courage. When I needed strength, He gave me strength. When my friend, my best friend, my God, my Savior, He's always with me, stood by me, now that's my testimony. They didn't have that testimony. Jerusalem couldn't say that. They could have. They missed their opportunity. And that's what the message today is. What's on my heart today? We got a chance. Don't miss the chance. The Lord's going to come and He's going to want to be God. And the things that's going to happen around us, He's going to stand there as a mighty Savior. And He's going to want to say, lean on my big shoulders because I'm God. But He said to them, but you would not. I wanted to be the one that you could turn to. And when the Romans come, this is what this is about. It's about the day that the Romans are going to come and besiege the city of Jerusalem. And He's saying, what I really wanted was to gather you together. What I really wanted you to know is with the day of your visitation, the day that the Lord came, the day that the Lord came and proved through miracles and wonders and works and love and mercies and all these things that your heart would melt, that I could be your God. I can defend you against these Romans. I can defend you. I can bless you in the middle of this. I can take care of you. But you would not. The calamity folks, that is going to befall our nation and our world is imminent.
Yes.
It's imminent. God is not going to keep approving of the same-sex marriage. He is not going to keep approving of the abortions. He's not going to keep He's not going to do it. He's not going to put His approval upon this kind of a world. There's going to be a crash. There's going to be things happen to this nation and our society. And He's giving us a chance. He's giving us a chance to have a relationship with the One that can do anything to defend us through all kind of things. And He's given us this opportunity. And He's saying, I'm visiting you. Don't turn away My visitation. Don't belittle it. Don't make it indifferent. Do you hear Me? You're not listening. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you see the signs of the time? You should see the signs of the time. That's My visitation. I'm talking. I want to get your attention a little bit. Turn your hearts to Me. Forget the fog and the haze and the smoke of confusion that the world's brought up to you. And realize that I'm not confusion. I'm not failure. I'm not false. I'm God. And that's the One that I want you to turn to. He says, but I would have gathered you together even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. What a fearful idea that your house is left unto you desolate. What house? Well, to them it was the house of Israel. But to us, that our house would be left unto us desolate. Desolation is the result of the absence of God. It goes a little bit at a time. Oh, but it goes. You know, rarely does anything instantaneously happen. God withdraws and things starts to corrupt. You start doing that. I was looking at my truck the other day. The brackets for my spring bracket on the back of the truck was broke off, and I got to looking at it, and it's rusted. I never saw it rust. I never saw it do that. It was rusty 5 years ago, but it wasn't that rusty. And I imagine it was about that rusty a couple weeks ago. I probably couldn't have told the difference between how rusty it is right now and 2 weeks ago. Or 2 months ago. Or even last year, maybe it was nearly as rusty, but it wasn't so rusty that it broke. My point is that the corruption happens. It works until you can't hardly see it working, but it happens. At the end of it, we look and say, how did I get here? How did I get a mind that's so far from God and good things? How did I get to a place that my family is so ruined? How did I get to a place that they're so indifferent? How did I get to a place like this? Well, I didn't pay attention to the day of the visitation of God. He wanted to gather. I'm going to have to let Him. But you would not mean something, folks. God doesn't go over a will to choose. If you don't want to serve the Lord with all your heart, He won't make you. But you're going to have consequences of it. Lord, help us that there's a chance. I thank God for there's a chance. I thank God that I've seen through every failure in the Scriptures. You can look and see where the chance was at. Let's look at that. Over in, one of the first ones. Over in Genesis. Fourth chapter of Genesis. It says, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she bare And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. I want to make some comments here about this. It's pure speculation. I assume it probably was in the nature of the first family here at this point. The wording here by most scholars that she knew that Adam knew his wife and she bare a son, and without saying that Adam knew his wife again, she bare another son. Scholars say the terminology there is absolutely that they were twins. Cain being the oldest of the twins, because it says that he knew his wife and she bore Cain and she bore again a son. That, in that terminology, scholars says this in the Bible trivia will be the answer for the question, who was the first twins? It was Cain and Abel. Well, supposing that that's true or not, the nature of children would be, you think about it, they grew up together. There is a certain, something happens when you grow up together. They played together. You know they did. They played together. They wrestled together. They done what boys growing up together will do. I look at that and it's meaningful to me, because something no doubt happened that shouldn't have happened. Something went wrong. Something went terribly wrong. In their minds, in their hearts, something went wrong that should never, it should never be the case that a brother slays another brother. That he hates him enough to murder him. It should never be such a thing. Is there a chance? Do we have a chance, an opportunity? You know, there's a chance. There was an opportunity. Didn't have to happen. God didn't want it to happen. But it happened. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but to Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. All right, a reverse in your life. God didn't accept him. Something was wrong. But the Lord didn't leave it there. The Lord says, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? You know, there's something just absolutely spectacular in my mind about questions. I hope you all question yourself. I question myself. I like to ask myself, I like to ask questions on everything of what it means. I say to myself sometimes, if you want to say it this way, self, why are you feeling the way you are? You ever get to the place that you're feeling and you don't like the way you feel? It happened to me yesterday evening when I heard Scalia died. I actually had to ask myself, why are you feeling the way you are? I'm disappointed, that's why. Let down. God, why didn't you let him live another year? I mean, honestly, I'm thinking this kind of way because this is important. It was an important issue. It looks like if he could have waited just long enough to have the right appointment in there, it made such a difference. See, that's the way I think of those kind of things. And I had to give myself, saying, am I going to lose sleep over this? Marty, why are you thinking the way you are? I asked myself the question. I hope you do that, and I hope you're not offended by questions that are asked. Why are you wroth, Cain? You're upset over something? You're going to lose some sleep? Some life ain't done? Why are you upset? Well, I'm upset because I wasn't accepted, and my brother was, and I'm upset because, can you answer? Have you ever answered these questions by saying, because I'm jealous? Oh, come on now. Nothing wrong with being honest. Was God being mean by asking the question? Or was the question asked in a sense to get to an answer? Cain, why are you wroth? Why is this happening to you? Why? Ask the question. Why is it happening? There's a chance in this. There's a chance for me. If the Lord would come and allow through circumstances or something for me to understand this, who I am. for me to be able to see who I am is a very valuable thing. When God allows something to happen that you can see yourself, it is so valuable. Then the question could be asked, who are you? Why aren't you as faithful as you know you ought to be? Why aren't you as forgiving as you know you should? Why aren't you? Why aren't you? Well, Lord, I don't know. Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Now listen. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Cain, right here is the day of Cain's visitation. Right here is the ultimate time. Here is the time. It's come to the pinpoint. It's come to the moment to where you're going to have to do something different if you're going to save yourself. God's dealing. God's working. God's visiting. God visited right down to this very fine point of His life. You're wroth. You're angry. Your countenance is fallen. And you're steamrolling towards disaster, Cain. Right here is the moment to say, Lord, have mercy on me. Help me. Here's my chance to see myself. If I don't, I'm going to murder my brother. If I don't, this hatred is going to consume me until I'm going to ruin his life and mine. How many people have that happened to in our nation? How many times? I believe in every person's life they come to that crossroads, to that point. I even believe in some of these shooters that we have, these bombers, McFay, some of these the Columbine shooters, them young men, all those young men. You don't think God ever spoke to any of them? You don't think God ever seen the direction he was going and brought it to the point that says, right now, why are you feeling this way? Why are you contemplating murder? Why are you, what's wrong here? You don't think God ever tried to, I think God visits them all. And here's the time, the chance. I'm glad to know that Cain had his opportunity. He was going wrong and God cared enough about him to come and talk to him and tell him, Cain, your countenance is fallen. You're angry and you got a problem here. And then he reasons with him. If you do well, will you not be accepted? Folks, is that not true with every one of us still today? You may feel an outcast. You may feel like you're alienated. But in God's world, if you do well, won't you be accepted? Is God trying to be against you? Is God bringing things against you? No. You got the same opportunity that every saint of God has ever had from the foundation of the earth. That if you do well, you'll be accepted. But if you do not well, hearken to this. Sin lies at the door. Now you have to understand that phrase. It means there's impending doom. Sin. The destruction. The results of sin is laying at the door. Can we not say, this United States of America, that sin lays at its door? God has always blessed it for doing well when it had noble reasons and noble purposes and noble things. There's been a blessing upon it for those things. It's not been perfect in humanity, but when it's been founded upon good principles, God's blessed it. But when it ain't, sin lies at the door. And all that sin brings will be at the door too. And it's the same whether it's a nation or an individual life. He warned Cain. Cain, you got sin at the door. There's some hard things just in your future from the way you're feeling and the way you're dealing. The destruction of all that you have and know, the being an outcast, the land, you're going to be cursed, you're going to be outcast, you're going to be a murderer. All these things is going to be heavy on your eternal soul because sin lays at the door. But he was visited. It's time, Cain. It's time to look. It's time to understand. It says, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Wait a minute. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Right after this, God talks to Cain, Cain talks to Abel. What was the conversation about? I wonder. Was it, Abel, I'm after you? Abel, I'm going to get you. What was the conversation? He talked with his brother. Did he repent? Abel, I'm sorry. Did he say, Abel, help me. God, bless your sacrifice. And he didn't mind. Help me to be able to do it the way you've done it. No. Up comes the fog and the smoke of confusion. Cain no doubt looks at Abel and says, oh, he's always favored. And favored by God now. Favored by... The smoke of confusion comes up. Instead of just dealing with Cain, just dealing with God. No, he's dealing with Abel. Dealing with something off to the side. Dealing with a different thing. Your success or failure in God has nothing to do with me. You can be successful if I'm not. You can be successful if your brother's not. You can be successful if your mom and dad ain't. You can be successful in the Lord, and the Lord is wanting that relationship with all of us. He wants a relationship that's so real, so dynamic, and so much of our convictions of our hearts is that we're going to serve the Lord regardless if anybody else does. Honey, I love you, but I'm going to serve the Lord if you don't. And I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. And I appreciate so much His visitation to us in life. I think of someone else that failed quite miserably in the Scriptures. Maybe I won't take time to read a lot of it, but it's in 1 Samuel, about the 15th chapter. It's the story of the first king. Samuel says to Saul, oh, let me see, 17th verse, and Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou made the head of the tribes of Israel? It sounds to me like that there was a given in that. When you was little in your own sight, you was made king over Israel. Obviously, he wasn't little in his own sight anymore. Something started happening to Saul. He was chosen to be king when he was little in his own sight. Kind of hid behind the wagons over there. Kind of sneak out of the way. Didn't want the limelight. Didn't want to be observed because he was shy maybe or whatever. But now he was little in his own sight. He wasn't important. Now he's important. But God isn't going to just leave him that way. He wants Saul to have more than that. You know, Saul had a chance and he kept messing up. Saul is going to go up to battle, and the time of the appointment of Samuel didn't come when he thought he was supposed to, and so he decides that he's going to make the sacrifice himself. He wasn't supposed to do that. But he did it anyway. Come on, Saul. That's a strike against you. You're doing things that you shouldn't do. But then again, that's kind of humanity too. What's God going to do about that? He's going to give him a chance. He's going to give him a chance to do it right. So Samuel comes and says, what have you done? Well, you didn't come, so I made a sacrifice. He said, you've done foolishly. But he didn't say that was the end. He had a chance. There was a time to repent. There was a time to change. So the Lord tells Samuel, tells Saul, that the Amalekites has come up before me. I remember how they responded when I sent my people into the land. And now the day of vengeance has come. And I want you to tell Saul to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites. You know what? That sounds like a chance to me. It sounds like an opportunity to say, I failed so miserably. Thank you, Lord, for giving me an opportunity to prove that I can be faithful. Right? God could have dismissed him. Took him off the scene. I'm tired of the guy. He won't do what I say. No, Samuel, I'll give you another opportunity. I'll give you another chance to be in good standing with the people of God. I'll give you a chance to be an honored king. I'll give you a chance to go down in history as a good king. I'll give you an opportunity, a chance to be faithful. This is what I want you to do. Simple instructions. There's no ambiguity about utterly destroying. There's no ambiguity about it. You don't have to wrestle, what did God mean? I'm not sure what God meant by utterly. The language is too plain. Utterly do it. You know, that was God's opportunity for Samuel to be a faithful king. He gave him a chance. And he did not honor that chance. It was just flippant to him. He didn't care to do what the Lord said. And if you want to go ahead and read that, comes at a time that he has a form of repentance. First, he just says, I done the will of the Lord. You did? You're going to have to be convinced that you've done it. You didn't do the will of the Lord. After he repents about that, and Samuel says, the kingdom's been rent from you. Remember, he reaches out and rents the prophet's clothes. He turns and says, the kingdom is rent from you too, Samuel. You know what happened with Samuel, folks? Samuel ended up going just like the rust on my truck. He started out a humble man, and he started rusting, decaying. He got worse and he got worse. And do you know by the end of Samuel's life, the guy's deranged. Saul. So at the end of Saul's life, the guy's half deranged. He's got a bad spirit. He's trying to pin David to the wall. His spirit comes over him. He's got an evil spirit on him. He's seeking advice from the witch of Endor. The guy is... How did he get there? He got there by the continual corruption. Denying the Lord's visitations and works in his life. And he gets to the point till he's not functional in the kingdom of God. How did he get there? You know, he got there by missing the chance that the Lord gave him. The Lord's given us chance. The Lord gives us a chance. An opportunity. He's a merciful God and a loving God. And I'll just quote one other. Ahab went down in history as a terrible king. He didn't have to. You know he didn't have to? And after he repented, Ahab had a sense of repenting there. And after he repented even, there come a time that he wanted to go up to Ramoth of Gilead and take that land back that he felt like was theirs. He went and gets Jehoshaphat to go with him. And Jehoshaphat says, wait, let's call on the Lord. Let's ask the Lord about this venture. So let's call in the prophets. So they call in all these prophets and they all come in with this show and all this. And they all agree, all of them agree. Yeah, go up. The Lord's favors on all these things. And Jehoshaphat, he ain't convinced. And he's saying, nah, these guys, I'm going to tell you the way I read that. These guys are political agents. These guys are people you got under your thumb. These guys are going to say anything you want them to say. They feel the pressure. Is there anyone else here that has enough, that's willing to go against you? Yeah, there's one guy. There's one guy left. I hate him. I hate him. Because he always prophesies against me. Forget about if it's prophesying against. Does he tell the truth or not? Is he going to tell you the truth? Well, call on him. So they call on this prophet. He comes up and there's a lot in it. But he ended up saying, if you go up there, the people's going to be like sheep without a shepherd. And they're going to be scattered to their own tents. And I see. I told you. Throw him in jail. Throw that. Folks, don't throw the messenger away. Don't kill the messenger. You know that was God again. Ahab was a terrible king. He was ungodly. He had murder done. He had all these things done. And yet in that, God's mercy extended all the way to the end of the opportunity for him to change the order of his life. He had a chance right there to change the order of his life. And he didn't do it. God was merciful in telling him, don't go up there. It was God that told the prophet not to tell him that. And he told him the truth. And Ahab said, I'm not going to believe it. And he said, when I come back, I'll deal with you. And the prophet says, if you come back at all, the Lord hasn't spoken by me. You remember the story? Ahab goes up there. And an archer, pre-adventure or at chance, shoots an arrow. It sounded like the guy wasn't aiming at anything. He wasn't aiming at anything. He pulled back and shot the arrow toward the enemies. What he done? And God directed that arrow, hit right between the chinking of his armor, which if I had armor on, it'd be pretty tight. There wasn't much of a seam, but it went right through the seam and stuck Ahab. And Ahab ends up dying, just as it was prophesied that he would. And my point is that he had a chance. He had a chance to alter the outcome of his life. Because God had mercy on him. And I believe today that God is having mercy on every one of us in a continual way. I want the Lord to continue to have mercy on me. I know it don't feel good to be pointed out to where you're wrong. But if I'm wrong, I won't point it out. I'd rather deal with it in this time than over there. I'd want to know what the Lord. Help me. Give me the opportunity and chance of life. Give me that opportunity and chance. I seen and throughout all of those guys that done wrong. All those guys that did. You think of all those ones. How easy it would have been for Naaman not to got his blessing. But God had mercy on him and gave it to him. Balaam. Balaam fought and fought and fought and was so... I wouldn't trust a guy to do any work for me. I wouldn't have trusted a guy. I wouldn't have hired him. And yet God dealt and dealt and dealt with him. Right down to having a donkey talk to him. Boy, he had his chance. Over and over, he had his chance. And if you look at those that failed, all the way down through those that failed, do you know God had given them chance and opportunity to do differently all the way down through? Listen, when God destroyed this world with a flood, He gave mankind about 120 years of chance and visitation. And dealt with them through that time to try to alter and change. They would not. But it did not have to be that story. It didn't have to be that story. There is supposed, there is always an argument about the ark and the world. I believe it totally. I also believe there was some space on that ark that wasn't filled. I think it's symbolic for those that should have. There was a space on that ark for every one of those people. There was a space. They could have owned it. There was a space. If it was one space, it was symbolic of the space that they could have owned. God has made a way that every one of us have a chance. I appreciate the chance. Don't allow the opportunity and chance to go by you. Because eventually, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to my truck. I've determined that I'm going to try to get a couple more years out of my truck and do whatever I have to do that. Possibly we'll do it. But I'm going to tell you, if time goes on, there'll be a time that that truck will have to be crushed. That truck is going. I see the ultimate of that. It's awful to think of a life that has to ultimately be done that way. That has went so far and keeps going so far that there isn't any good inclination in the heart of a person towards God left. That would be a terrible thing. You pray for me.